we were a victim already twice. So, you know, I would call and I would say, you know, I have been a victim of identity theft already twice. And I will ask that I will be assigned a random number for my Medicare number. And they can do that.
So it won't be connected to any other thing?
Yes, yes. Because, you know, like, people know that that's your social security number.
But I guess the question I would ask, though, I mean, I can understand that you might request that, but there's so many things that seem like you're linked to that.
Mm-hmm.
What are the consequences
of
changing that social security number?
You're not going to be changing your social security number.
You're changing the number.
You're changing the number that they have assigned to you for Medicare. They will have in their system, they will have it connected,
right.
You know, this random number, they will have it connected to your social security
sure.
number, because that's your number, that's your record.
Uh-huh.
But they will just be assigning
a number.
Is
there a movement to do that generally? Check everybody?
Well, I think, you know, I tell people to,
right,
to,
no, but I mean,
to do it, but
why doesn't the government to prevent
tell
that
tell
not
them.
Put that
yeah.
there?
Yes, and it's actually knowing the incidence of so much identity theft, it should be up front in the government's, you know, mindset. It's like, okay, like, let's change those numbers, you know, from, you know, a get-go without people asking, but you will have to ask, unfortunately.
Great.
So, according to the Department of Justice, there were 17.6 million people that had identity theft issues in 2014, okay?
Wow.
That represents about 7% of the U.S. population. That's a huge number.
So I want to just add to that, because I work on the other side of that,
mm-hmm.
the security side of that. So something
you're trying
like,
to prevent?
Yeah, just security on networks and things like that. Something like 70 to 80 million social security card or numbers were stolen through Target, you know, the U.S.
all
government,
of those,
IRS,
all of
exactly.
those data breaches. Yeah.
So it's massive, the amount of
the
data that's leaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
Yeah. So the Federal Trade Commission, it's a agency that all of those little wonderful documents that I have and pamphlets, and I'm gonna ask you to take one of each. They put together awareness about identity theft and what to do and that kind of stuff. And they also have that you can put a complaint. If you're a victim of identity theft, you can either do it online or you can call and make a complaint, you know, as to, okay, when it happened, how it was, you know, used, you know, were their accounts opened, was it medical, was it work related? I mean, you know, like, there's like a ton of different scenarios that you can put. And that helps the Trade Commission to send that information to law enforcement across the states and, you know, federally, to be able to go after big scammers and, you know, big things like, you know, like what Lars was saying, you know, those data breaches, they will be able to get, you know, and get behind who did it. So, and the people that have complained to the Federal Trade Commission, so in 2015, it was 500,000 that they received complaints about identity theft. So, you know, it's a lot of people that get into that situation. So identity theft is when somebody uses your identity, either your name, your social security, your address, you know, any of those personal things, to open accounts, to open loan accounts. They can buy a house, they can buy cars, they can get arrested and, you know, give your name and get you to be suspended on your license depending on what they were pulled over for. I mean, it goes on and on as to what kind of things they can do. And it will be one of those things that it's really hard to, once you're a victim, it's really hard to clean that up. So I'm going to talk about, you know, like, okay, how to prevent being a victim, and if you're a victim, what things you need to do. So I'm going to ask you three questions, and you don't have to answer out loud. You can just think in your mind. Do you shred or destroy every bill or credit card statement or bank statement that comes to your house? So then the second question is, have you ever seen a copy of your credit report? Okay, so answer in your mind. And the last question is, do you know what a fraud alert is? So, if you answer yes to all of those three questions, then you know important steps, what you need to do to protect yourself. If you answer two out of those three, then you're cramping that style and you need to do a little bit more to be able to protect yourself. And if you answer yes to only one, then I'm hoping that, you know, the information that I'm going to provide to you is going to be helpful and you're going to know what to do to be able to protect yourself. So there are warning signs when somebody has stolen your identity, and those are seen in the explanation of benefits. So when you have your insurance, they will send you an explanation of benefits for, okay, you have you went to your doctor X, or you had an X-ray, or you have, you know, whatever thing you did, they will send you an explanation of benefits. So you need to look at those, because they might crop something in there that it's not yours. Okay, so that's a warning. The other thing is to be on the lookout for your bills. So if they start missing, you know, like if there's a credit card that you have and then, you know, it doesn't come, you need to pay attention to those things and you need to call your bank, because it was possible that somebody actually changed the address to that credit card bill to another address, so they can start getting that information there and potentially opening some other accounts, okay? The other warning is when you start receiving calls from debt collectors for accounts that you don't know about. So, you know, an account that they're saying, okay, you have a Verizon account when you have never had Verizon as a cell phone provider. So things like that, you know, just look out for those things. Or the other warning sign is to start receiving notices from the IRS as to, okay, you did not disclose that you earned this much money and you owe us money. So because somebody else is using your so you need, you know, those are warning signs, okay? Or you receive calls or mail on behalf of your minor children. That's another warning. That, you know, like if, let's say, a credit card company is starting to send, you know, those letters that tell you have been pre-approved
to your
minor children. It could be your, you know, 1-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, your minor children. And that you know that they don't have a credit. They have not asked for, you know, those offers of credit, okay?
So that's a sign that somebody stole their
yes, yes.
Because what happens is they steal their account, and they're not going to look for their account for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, 17, depending on how old they are, until, you know, they're old enough to ask for credit, and then it's like, oh. Another thing, you know, like related to that, so for instance, I had a client that came into the office because her benefits for food stamps were being terminated because her son supposedly was working, and he was not working. He was, you know, in high school, like, you know, he was like 15 or 14, something like that. So he was definitely not working. So somebody else was working his social security number. So, you know, it causes trouble in that way. So, you know, it's possible. There's too many options. So, the way that people steal your information is so huge, okay? They can do it from the old way of going through, you know, your street and stealing your garbage. If you don't shred your documents, your financial documents, if you don't shred your bank accounts, your credit card accounts, all of that information is there. So they will be able to get it. Okay? They will also trick people into revealing that information. So, for instance, they will either call and say, hey, you won $5 million and you have to, you know, pay this much and, you know, give us your account number, you know, your bank account number and your routing number and whatever. And people will give them that information. So, you know, being trusting to, you know, people calling and saying, hey, you won this. So be very careful about those things. Another instance is by email. There are so many times where, you know, you receive an email from a bank, US Bank or CD Bank or whatever, and they say, there's a problem with your account. Click on this link, and then it's asking you to provide your name, your address, your social security number, and your account number. So it's asking you to provide everything that supposedly they already have. So that is, you know, to mine that information, to get that information from you. So.
On the Social Security thing, that's happened to me 2 times I've gotten called. But during the call I thought, well, Social Security never calls you on the phone. They only
IRS doesn't call you on
the mail. So I called Social Security and they said, yes, we never call you on the phone.
Yep.
So that's how.
Yeah. Or, you know, a lot of times, like, you will either get a call or an email. Microsoft, you know, there is a problem with your Microsoft computer, you know.
I call those calls all the time. All the time. And I'm like,
Yes. So then, you know, it's like they're just trying to, you know, they're trying to see which one will stick, basically.
So in terms of targeting, they don't target people who have more money. They target whoever they, I mean, it just...
Whoever bites.
Yes.
Whoever bites.
It's all. So, you know, there's groups that target elderly people. There is groups that, you know, anybody in the world. So it's the scammer's mind, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to make money.
They'll call saying it's a bill, too.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
That if you have a bill you have to pay,
uh-huh.
It's another way to get your
yeah.
information.
Or
that there's an arrest warrant.
Yeah.
You got to do something. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Or that, you know, that you owe taxes and that you have to pay and that you're going to go to jail. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So the other way that they can take your information is, you know, just stealing your wallet or, you know, your purse. Like, you know, that's just another way to do it. Pretending to offer a job to get that information, or a loan. So for instance, a lot of times when people come and knock on your door, be very wary about those. Because a lot of times, you know, like they will come in and they will say, okay, and especially to elderly people, we're gonna fix your roof, or we're gonna fix, you know, your, you know, driveway, or we're gonna fix whatever thing that they're gonna fix. And then they ask for all of that information to supposedly get a credit approval for the job, okay? And a lot of times that is not true. And they just get that information and, you know, start using it to cause damage, okay? So the other way that, you know, Lars mentioned it was those famous data breaches, right? You know, nowadays with computers, hacking. The other way is to place a little device in the ATM machines. So it's like a plastic thing that just put it in to grab the information from your card and your PIN number.
Also, the gas pump.
Yes, it's very prevalent in in gas pumps and like inside like stores or, you know, like.
So a hacker would secretly put this in?
Yes.
And then
they do.
Come and get it a day later or something?
Yes. They do.
And they can actually wirelessly transmit the data over to their system.
Yeah.
Is there any way that you can see that someone has done that?
Well, what I've heard is that when you're using, you know, like, so you should try to always use your bank's ATMs. Even though the banks also have trouble, you know, like, I've heard a couple of times that they had trouble. But when you do, like, touch it. Touch it to see if, you know, like, there's something that, you know, like, what I heard, it was, like, if there's, you know, some residue of, like, glue or something that, you know, it's not soft the way that, you know, like, you will touch it, then, you know, you can kind of, okay, stay away from that.
So an ATM that's actually inside a bank would be safer than an ATM outside a bank?
Yeah, I will think so.
But if you can do it wirelessly, then what's the point?
Yes. But, you know, I mean, it could happen. It could happen that somebody will put one inside the bank as well, even though, you know, it will take them a while to probably, like, figure it out and catch it.
And the other thing that they can often do is put a little pinhole camera.
To get that information.
And watch what
you when put you put, camera. Yeah. I don't know. There are so many things. So, the way to reduce your risk is to make it a habit to check your credit report on a regular basis. So if you have not ever checked your credit reports, you need to start doing that.
Do it every year, every month?
So you can get a credit report for free from each of the three major credit reporting agencies. So that's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You can get one per year for free. So my suggestion is that you do it, like, you get one, you know, at the beginning of the year, 4 months later you get the other one, and then 4 months later you get the other one. So you, in a year, you're checking all three.
I've had trouble checking that info on some of them though. Like, it won't work on one of the, it only work on two or one of the three. So I can't get my report.
So you have to. So that happens a lot because either your account has been compromised, or because if you do it online, the way that it asks a ton of questions. So, and they're random questions. So for instance, it asks your name, your social security number, and your address. Those are your basic questions, right? Where you live, blah, 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 whatever. But then online it asks you, okay, do you have a mortgage with bank X? Do you, you know, how much is your mortgage? Did you ever live on street? Did you ever live on city? You know, like, what kind of account? So it could be for years of information. And a lot of times people don't remember, or if there's issues with, you know, somebody else getting into, you know, your account, so that's why. So either you have to call or do it via mail to get it. And in this little handy book, it will tell you about it. And it has a form.
Mail.
Mail.
You know this thing?
Yeah. Like stamps?
Snail mail. Snail mail.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry. So it's very important that, you know, that you get your credit reports. And if you are a victim of identity theft, you can get an additional from each company. Okay?
For free.
Yes, for free, to check, you know, like, whether there was an issue, okay? The best place, if you're going to do it online, is www.annualcreditreport.com. That is the official website that those three companies have. There's a ton. When you put credit report, there's, like, a whole bunch of the list that will show up.
And maybe some are
and because they're asking, you know, to sell you things, or, you know, we'll sell you the credit report, so it's not going to be free. So, you know, make sure if you do it in that website, okay?
What was it again?
So it's annualcreditreport.com.
It's in the handout?
It will be here.
There you go.
In this book. And I believe I have this little thing in here, and it will have it here as well. So I'm going to sit in there around so you guys can see it. And it's right there at the beginning, annualcreditreport. So you don't have to write it. So that's information about accessing your credit report. And then if you do it by snail mail, you can request from three companies, and you will have to provide, this is the form, okay, in this book. This is the form that it will be to get the credit report, and you can choose if you want the three of them or you just want one, depending on how you want to get it. And in addition to sending this form, you have to provide a copy of your driver's license, a copy of your social security card, and a copy of a utility bill that it's within like 3 to 4 months, okay? To be able to get credit report from the companies. And as I mentioned, you have to look at your bank statements, your credit card statements, see if there's any changes. See if, if there's any charges that you don't recognize. A lot of times they will put like a dollar one or less than a dollar one, then you're like, what was that? And they're just trying to see whether it's a good number to get in charge, okay? So, just be mindful of those things. Or a lot of times there are big charges, so you need to act immediately and, call your credit card company. Hey, this is not mine. I was not traveling in Rome. I was not traveling in, whatever other country or whatever, okay?
Is there any problem with sending your social security number in the mail?
It's really, because of the issue with identity theft, I will say that, it will not be a good idea, but they require it,
right,
or else they will not send you the information.
Don't make a habit of it.
So that's the thing. You have to choose how you want to try to get your credit report. Because if you know all of your accounts, if you know where you have lived all your life and what streets and, the numbers, because that's also too, they will give you the number of the street or the street name or the town an account that you had, 20 years ago. And they will ask questions about those things. So if you're good, if your memory is good, go with that route.
I do it in a blue drop-off box, not your own mailbox outside. Because then it's harder to act. They can't access that blue box, right? The drop-off
mm-hmm.
boxes. So anything important, that's what I always do that.
Yes.
Drop it off at the post office, I suppose.
Or that too, yeah.
Yes.
One of the blue ones are post office.
And if you're going to send it, by mail, and if you have one of those boxes that, you can just open, do not put it there.
Yeah.
Take it to the post office or in one of those boxes that the post office has throughout the town.
And take it inside the post office.
So, as I mentioned, just follow up with any issues with your credit cards, your bank statements, your explanation of benefits. If you receive notices from the Internal Revenue Services, call them. Follow up. Don't ignore it. This is a number that is not going to be there, so you might want to write it down. So they have a specialized identity theft protection unit. And their number is 1-800-908-4490.
That's the FTC.
Say again?
That's the IRS, a specialized identity theft protection unit.
Say again?
1-800-908-4490.
90?
Yes.
Okay.
90. So, continuing on, You need to secure your social security number. So don't carry it with you. Don't write it down. And we talked about, you know, asking to change the Medicare number. And a lot of times when you call to have, you know, make a new appointment with a doctor or something like that, and they immediately they ask you for it. So you can say, what are you going to use it for? If they're going to say, oh, we're going to use it for your account, then say, well, you don't need that. You can create a different account for me, and, you know, I would rather not give it to you because of, you know, identity theft issues or, you know, I've been a victim or whatever, okay? And they should, you know, not be too hard on you not wanting to provide it, okay? Do not give personal information over the phone, over the email, or the internet unless you know the person that it's contacting you, okay? And if you're gonna have, like if you have people at home that will be coming in, so, you know, somebody's gonna be working on your house, or, you know, like just anybody that will be coming, do not leave, you know, like your bank statements, you know, on the table, or, you know, don't leave your financial things around. Just because you never know who will be tempted to get information, okay? And something very important is, if you don't own a shredding machine, get one. They're cheap. Like, you can get one for $25, $30, okay? And, you know, shred those bank accounts, your the statements, the credit cards, any financial information, those notices that you receive for approval of credit, shred them as well, okay? If you have, you know, if you still write checks and there's, you know, the clear check that it's sent to you, also do it, okay? Something always very important is to destroy the label of the prescription bottle. So the prescription bottle usually will have your name, your address, and your phone number, okay? In addition to what medicine you're taking, right? So, you know, just take it off, put it into a paper, and shred it, okay?
That I do.
Good, good.
I never even thought of that.
I know.
And the other thing is, don't overshare on social media. So, for instance, if you have a, you know, Twitter account or Instagram or Facebook or, you know, any of those things. Do not put, I am going to be on Golden Village from this week to this week. Or I'm going to be, you know, like going to
Florida cruise.
Yes. Or I'm going to be, you know, like for on vacation, you know, for this long or whatever. Because there will be people that are watching, even though there might not be your friends, but there might be friends of your friends, mm-hmm. and that they will know where you live. Oh, okay, so that person is gone now. Okay, we can go in. Okay?
Also, location services, you can turn that off on
that
your phone.
Too.
Because they can identify where your photo was taken.
Yeah,
or where
so
you're supposed
when
to
you
go.
Take those pictures, and they will know exactly what the latitude will be to pinpoint where your house is. The other thing is, if you have any of those accounts, do not put your full birthday, because you're providing that information already to the world. So, you know, you can put, okay, I was born on September 7th. That's all I have. I don't have what year I was born, okay? And I don't have where I live either. So, you know, just be mindful of those things, okay?
The other thing, not so much fraud, but robbery. My neighbor, the detective for Fort Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and he says, if you're going away, don't, if you take a newspaper, don't call the newspaper office and tell them you're going away.
Mm-hmm.
And then have your paper stop, mm-hmm. because people are watching. See
yes.
if you get a paper every
yes.
day. If
and
you're
it's
not getting
accumulated.
It, then no, you're not
so
there.
What should you do?
to put a hold on it. And it's the same thing that happens with your mail.
Saying no.
Every neighbor just pick up
your
mail.
Pick it up. So for mail, you do put a whole mail. Because if you especially have one of those boxes that, you know, anybody can open, they can just be getting it, okay?
A question. Just at what point do we become paralyzed by these things? I mean, at what point do we, are the chances less than a meteor hitting me that they will be checking my mailbox for the newspaper? I mean, at what point do we balance our concern and our attentiveness?
And that
with,
becomes so what?
Yeah, exactly right, because I can see that taking place.
Yes, yes.
Then as you get older like I am, it's not only that, but if people call you, I've gotten 6 or 8 calls. This is your grandson. Oh. I'm in England, in downtown London, and I got to stop by the police because
I need to be alone.
I ran a stoplight or something, and they're going to put me in jail. Could you send me $1,000? You know, and I've gotten them from all over the world like that.
You've got a lot of grandsons,
though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always ask, well, I talk to them. I say, well, yeah, maybe I could do that. I could help you. But which grandson are you? I have 6 of them. Hmm. Are you Bill? Are you Homer? Are you? And you always hear click.
Yeah. So in response to your question, I think that it's a balancing thing. So, you know, like I think that if you try to prevent those things, you know, like, I mean, you're not going to stop it from happening. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen, right? But at least, you know, try to prevent
it
happening. And if it happens, then you will know what to do. Because I'm going to, you know, I'm telling you what you're going to be needing to do. So, you know, it's not going to be like, oh, what's going to happen? And, you know, I have to be focusing so much and I'm going to be obsessing about this thing. I mean, there are so many things that we need to be obsessing about. So, you know, it's just...
With social media, one thing we do is whenever we're on vacation, we wait till we get back to post pictures. Don't post them while you're on vacation.
Don't put your phone number, you know, in there. You know, when somebody says, oh, you know, I want to call you. Do not put, call me at this number. Like, don't.
Do you think private messaging is okay? Because the local websites, like the garage sale things and... We're kind of interacting with people who, I know this isn't probably the main focus of it, but I mean, because this could be the whole hour.
Yeah.
But do you think it's okay to use private messenger? Because we always do that for garage sale things or... Like,
or things that you're looking into.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that...
Maybe.
It's a little bit less obvious for somebody to, you know, because it's not public, right?
Supposedly.
But, I mean, you know,
it's not somebody you know.
Yeah.
Yes. But if somebody, and if somebody, you know, that you don't know that, you know, and depending on, you know, are you giving your house, you know, landline or are you giving your cell number? I mean,
it's iffy, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
yes. Bad. Yes. So, you know, you might want to try to see, you know, it's like, okay, do I need to, you know, communicate by email? You know, that way you're not exchanging numbers to be able to, you know, and if they are selling something, you will know what the address will be and, you know, try to go from there. Okay? So we have talked about a little bit, you know, it has come out about online impersonators, so you need to be able to protect your computer. So you have to create strong passwords. So don't have your like maiden name or your birthday or your last 4 of your social security number. None of those things, okay?
Or the same password.
Or the same password for everything, okay? That's another one. Don't.
The password 1 doesn't work.
Say that again.
Password 1 doesn't work.
Password itself works much better.
Okay.
so, you know, like when you create your passwords, try to create them, if possible, with no words. Like, you know, like password, that's an example, or, you know, my love, or whatever, okay? Try to put, like, I like cherries. So I, L, you know, like try to create, so you take the first word of, you know, whatever that phrase is, so something that, you know, you will remember, and then add numbers, you know, symbols or whatever to try to create, you know, something that it will be harder for a hacker to try to figure it out.
You know, I mean, this is kind of getting to my wheelhouse a little bit, but what they found is that people forget the mnemonics.
Yes.
If you actually use a long password, I love Holden in the springtime, or I love Holden summer,
I love Holden
2017, you know, whatever.
It like, might be harder for them to, okay.
There's two things. First of all, you remember it.
Yes, that's true.
But you got to find a new one each time. The other thing I'll say is that there's password managers.
Yeah.
And people feel uncomfortable saying, oh, well, they have my password. If it's a good tool, they do not have your password. I can explain it if you're interested, but then you get a random password that is like, I don't even know my passwords.
Mm-hmm.
I have over 650 passwords.
Yeah.
And
for so many things.
Yeah. And so it manages the passwords for me.
Do you have it on your phone, or what do you have?
I'm on my phone, I have it on my computers, it's all shared across.
Yeah.
My wife and I share the account.
Do you pay for that service?
I do, but there are several of them. They're free. They're quite good. The other thing, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Well, the other thing, I think it's good.
It's
not an identity theft thing, but it's at least for our family. Like if I were to get run over by a truck,
mm-hmm.
I would want my wife to have access to all of my accounts and everything.
Or to your phone.
And to my phone
to
and all
Facebook
these different things.
And all of that.
Yeah. And so the password manager allows her to have access into those things. Without it being complicated.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has to break into the account. So anyway.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So if you have passwords set up already and you want to use one of those, do you have to change it or do you have to tell it to set a new password? How does that work?
I think they're all a little different. I mean, the one I use is LastPass, and I would say that it's about 80% great, but 10% good, and 10% exasperating. But I would say it's invaluable. Having said all that,
I agree with that.
So I'm not trying to say it solves all the problems, but it solves the problem of having the same password, which we all fall into because we're just like, I can't remember this darn thing.
Yeah.
So what if someone gets that password, the master password?
If they get the master password, you're toast.
You're hosed.
Yeah.
So it has to be really good.
You have a really good master password, and then everything else is automatic.
So what would be a really good master password?
I love the Book of John.
Okay.
It's just long, yeah.
So yeah, long is good.
But with numbers and
verse. I love, maybe the verse, and so I love John 4:16, or, you know, whatever. 4:16, you know.
Okay.
Exclamation mark.
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, there's so many... whatever works for you that you can
remember,
right?
Okay.
That's the key.
That is absolutely the key. Quite literally.
So what happens if you forget that?
You're toast.
Okay, so your wife would help you maybe.
No.
She has good memory.
So this is a little bit counter, but I think sometimes writing it down on a piece of paper, putting it someplace that is known.
Yeah.
But not near your computer.
Not near your computer. Not underneath the keyboard.
Yep.
Same.
Yeah.
In your safe, maybe.
Huh?
In your safe. Put in your safe.
Well, yeah. If you gotta have a safe.
Safety deposit box.
Yeah.
So, if your identity is stolen, if you're a victim already, so there are certain things that you need to do, and you can go to identitytheft.gov, so government, and in there you can, so that's the Federal Trade Commission's website, And you can put in there, you know, what kind of identity theft happened to you. And it will give you like a step-by-step, well, this is what you need to do, you know, this is, you know, try this, try that. And it will also can generate letters to collectors or the credit bureaus or, you know, things like that, okay? So the first thing that you do if your identity is stolen is you place an initial fraud alert. So that is, you call one of the three companies that I mentioned before, the credit reporting agencies. You call one of them to say, hey, my identity was stolen, you know, my purse was stolen, or whatever thing happened, okay? And the one that you call has to inform the other two, so they can flag your credit reports as well. And that initial fraud alert stays there for 90 days. What that does is that it tells the credit reporting agencies if somebody tries to open an account or, you know, check your credit, they will receive a message saying you need to talk to, you know, customer, okay? So they will have to prove that it is you that is asking for credit. So they cannot just go like, okay, yes, yeah, this person has good credit, okay, proof. Okay, they have to do more because there is that alert. The other thing is that you need to order your credit reports to see if there's anything there. And you have to create an identity theft report. So that is that you do a police report. You go to the police department or, you know, call them or whatever. And once you have, like, for instance, if it's something related to fraudulent accounts that were open, or somebody worked in your name. So for instance, you know, like I recently had a client that came in that received a W-2 and she has not worked for 12, 13 years, okay? So that is clearly somebody's using her information, okay? So she needed to take the W-2 and say, I received this W-2 and, you know, like, I have not worked since, you know, 2000 whatever, and, you know, my identity was stolen. So then the police will write a report, and that report, in connection with a complaint that you do with the Federal Trade Commission, that becomes the theft report. And that document and the police report are the documents that you send to agencies or collection agencies or to the bank to close accounts if they were open, if they're still open.
How do you find what bank accounts might have been opened in your name?
That's why you need to check your credit reports.
Okay.
Because if there is something that, so for instance, I've had cases where the related to credit, the person didn't know until they started receiving, you know, bills, collection bills, okay? So then, what I do is I just get the credit reports, and then we go through them. It's like, okay, is this account yours? You know, did you open it? You know, did you, you know, how long do you have it? Whatever, and then there, you know, there will certainly be accounts that are either, they could be in good standing, or that they're in default. It could be both. Or another thing that will be there is judgments against people. That they're not against you. Like, even that there could be, you know, a similar name, or, you know, it's the same name, but, you know, like, with middle initial different. Or, I mean, yes, okay? So I don't want to scare you guys, but, but, you know, just check your credit reports, okay?
So I have a credit report that doesn't have my bank accounts on it. Is that normal? Should they be on there?
No, and that's a very good notation. It's because the three credit reporting agencies might not have the same information, and the report could look different as well.
Yeah.
So, for instance, there might be some, you know, one company that includes all of your different addresses or all of your different phone numbers that you have ever had, okay? Yeah. As well as your, you know, credit cards and your bank, you know, loans for your cars that you had or your mortgages or, you know, things like that, okay? But, like, for instance, if you're asking for, like, a bank account, like a checking account or savings account, that will not be included.
How do you get those?
How do you get?
How do you check those, then?
Your bank account?
Yeah. Like, if somebody opened a bank account in your name, you put them up there.
Yeah. Well, that's, you will have to have a lot of work.
because, so it's not easy.
Because, no, because, I mean, unless there is a, there's a couple of companies that deal with bank accounts. Mm-hmm. One is Chex Systems.
Okay.
And
C-H-E-X?
E-E-X.
Yeah.
So if, for instance, if somebody opens an account in your name,
right,
and then they overdraft it and, you know, the account is closed, so then they will send that information, the bank will send that information to that agency, to that reporting agency.
Okay.
So you could, you know, potentially ask them to see if they have anything on you, but you will know, because let's say you try to open a new account, you know, with a different bank, okay, and they run your credit.
Yep.
And they will tell you, okay, you know, there's this issue, no, we cannot, you know, you have an overdraft account, you know, so we cannot open you a new account.
So you will
find out that way. And if you do, one way is that, you know, like whenever you ask for credit, they have to tell you where they got that credit report from. Okay. And you have the right to ask for a copy of that credit report.
Okay.
And then you can see, you know, there's things that could show in there that you didn't know, and, you know, you can follow up. The other thing is that the credit reports that we receive are very different to the credit reports that banks and the mortgages and all of us, they receive. They look different, and they might include different information as well.
How do we get one of those?
You don't. unless you're a bank or, you know.
I thought that if you applied for credit, you have the ability to ask for that copy of the credit report.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But just out of the blue, you can't.
But even if it's approved, you still have a right to ask for it.
Yes.
So that would be a reason to try to get credit cards every once in a while.
Yeah.
Or apply.
Yes.
Yeah, just apply, don't get them.
Yeah. So I have some information about how to protect your children's identity.
I had a friend who was a victim, and I wound up changing her name because it just
was the best way to do it.
How
common
is that?
Oh, wow.
So
seemed to do a pretty good job, because both times I lost my identity, I called my credit card number, and they've got it resolved real quick, but in both times, they said, go file a police report.
I got you.
If we find out who the person is, the police can arrest them, and they can't in themselves file a police report because they're not the victim.
Got it. So hopefully, with the information that I'm providing you, you don't have to continue paying your identity theft service. Because you will know what to do.
Okay?
And in reality, those companies, they don't prevent identity theft.
No, they don't.
They don't. Okay?
Sure.
So, yes. So, you know, with you checking your your credit report, and, you know, being aware of your, you know, what's coming in with your bank statements and your credit card statements and that kind of stuff, you will do the job you know, and you don't have to be paying for a service that, you know, it's not doing really anywhere. And save you, you know, $14, $15 a month, you know, that, you know, it doesn't really make any difference for me to be spending. Spend it on a coffee or something else.
I was also wondering, since renters have to do their social security, does that make renters so much more vulnerable than people that own? Because they...
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, like we are, everybody's vulnerable, okay? Because they have to, you know, they have to check their credit. And for renters, their agencies, just like credit reporting agencies, they're agencies for tenant housing renting. So, you know, like, so if you were rented and you were evicted, they will have that information. If, you know, like, if you have a good rental history, it will show you. So, unfortunately, it's so tied in to so many things that, you know, like, that it's, I don't think that we're going to ever get rid of social security numbers being asked. Okay?
Is there any attempt to try to correct this from a different angle? I'm just so amazed the number of phone calls that I get. This is the IRS, or, you know, I'm on no-call list. I'm just constantly being bombarded by scams.
Yes. So you need to call the police to let them know. And there is also the Federal Trade Commission. You can also report those calls to them because, and this is very important, is that if they have, you know, like enough number, you know, of callers complaining about, you know, this particular number or this particular company that is calling, they will look into it. And they have, you know, the Consumer Bureau and the Federal Trade Commission, they have gone after some of those culprits of,
well,
you know,
how can
trying
they do that?
To...
I mean, if you ask them who they're calling, what company they're calling, it's going to hang up, right?
Oh, because... If you call the police or if you call the Federal Trade Commission, they can trace with whoever, you know, company you're having your service, they can trace where it's coming from. Like, if, whether it's a domestic call, whether it's an international call.
I never bothered because I didn't think they could do anything.
They can. So, you know, just to, you know, be helpful to the rest of the world, and it's like, you know, it's a problem, and you know, it might be that they could go after them, and you know, like, I mean, they have gone after, you know, groups of people that are, you know, using, you know, credit cards.
I know that my in-laws pay for a service to filter calls like that. So I don't know, I know they do that, so that basically
they do not call registry. Get on it.
It
doesn't
work.
So that's the.
Is this a landline?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get rid of the landline.
Yeah.
Boom. And the second thing is, I mean, not that this is perfect, but like Verizon, if you get voicemail, literally, it comes up as potential fraud. I can show you. It's like this potential fraud. I immediately bang.
And how do they recognize it?
They have their ways, right?
Because then, it's like there's so many numbers.
But, and it's not foolproof. But the other thing I have behind that is a little app that's call filter. And so, yeah, I'm calling about a tour, you know, whatever. Bink, and I put it on the do not call list. I never hear it again.
Yeah, that's what they do. So they, if they receive a number that, like that, they put on that list and they don't get any more.
Yeah. But I mean, this is like free. I don't have to do anything.
I block every single, like, telemarketing call.
Yes.
So after a week,
they had the same thing going on. They were getting a lot, and then they went away after that.
I heard some guy who did like the bank, call the bank and route you around. He did that. He has that available for your home phone. So if someone calls, if they're on the call, they'll be keep routing it around. You know, oh, I'm sorry, someone's at the door. Could you hang on? And it just keeps them at bay, and they can't deal with that because it's time is money to them. It's just it's get even thing.
Yeah. So what about cell phones?
Yeah, what about them?
Do they have an app for that?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you were talking about? You can get an app that
will
pick it up?
So for me, I have two layers. One,
Verizon.
I use Verizon, and Verizon has an app. It's a voicemail ID, and they will filter. I can show it to you. It literally comes up as potential fraud as the caller ID.
Okay, so that's when your cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so right away, okay. That's easy. And then, there's a bunch that does come through.
Okay.
And, I started going through the list, and after the first week or two, I just got a new phone. So I know it takes about 2 weeks,
uh-huh.
And then it's pretty much gone.
The other issue you've been saying is our Social Security numbers are so loose. We got a lot of friends in Germany, and their system is so much better than ours. It's so much more secure.
Oh, yeah.
It's like intelligent people decided to put a system together.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any chance in this country of Congress ever getting intelligent enough to do anything.
That would be a good
comment there.
I mean, just insane.
No, it's terrible right now. I mean, we're really kind of sitting ducks.
Yeah. So. It's like no one cares.
No, the whole do not call list is silly.
Well, it's like do call.
Yeah.
That's my experience.
Hit me here.
We have a friend who does big security work.
Computer stuff?
Yeah. But he said, part of the reason why the computer systems get hacked is because there are all these when they copy software without paying for it.
Without buying the actual software.
Those copies, all the pirated ones, mm-hmm. they don't have updates, all the security updates. And so the pirated software all
they
around the world.
Get in.
Yeah, and that gets hacked more easily, and then it affects all the systems.
It's a big problem.
It's
like
crazy.
Problem. But thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.